Great Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. It is a Thursday at 3 o'clock, which means it's time for the People's Hour with TD, the TD Power Hour, Teron Davenport, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, I call it the People's Hour because I feel like you speak on behalf of the people sometimes on this program.
Oh, only sometimes. But it's all right. I'll take it, man.
There you go. Well, sometimes you speak on behalf of you when it comes to, like, breaking the stuff down.
I always speak on behalf of me. It just so happens to be that the people feel my story, man.
That's there you goes. Go. I'm not going to disagree with that. So I want your reaction, and I know that it's yesterday's news, but I literally woke up this morning, and I'm like, I want to know what TD thinks, top to bottom, about Stephon Diggs going to Houston, what it means for the Texans, what it means for the Titans, and then also kind of this whole, like, deterioration between Diggs and Buffalo because, I mean, for, like, 2020, 2021, I mean, it was hard to find a better duo than Diggs and Allen. So I just kind of want your whole opinion off the top on Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I think this is one of the times where I don't speak for the people. I think it's a move that is really good for the Texans, and I see a lot of people on social media and everywhere else just trying to talk this into being a bad deal. This is a good deal for them. And obviously there have been issues as far as Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. Diggs wants a little shine, right? He wants a little respect on his name. That's all I think it is. I think it's one of those deals where he went there and you saw Josh Allen catapult up into one of the top two, top three quarterbacks in the league, and there wasn't really much credit given to Stephon Diggs, who was one of the best receivers in the league during that stretch. So I think that's more or less what it is. Obviously, Josh Allen and CJ Stroud for now are on two different levels as far as quarterbacking is. I think Stroud could get there. It's just going to be about how they distribute that football. Bobby Sloak has to find a way to keep everybody happy because you got a Tank Dell, you got Nico Collins, you got Stephon Diggs, you got Joe Mixon in the back backfield. And, oh, by the way, Dalton Schultz at TE. So they're going to have to win. And the one thing that I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed and everyone else has noticed, is winning, it kind of puts a mask over a lot of different issues. So I think it's a good move. It's going to be outstanding to watch their top three receivers against the Titans' top three defensive backs. Just has to get a pass rush, though. That pass rush has to get better. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great move for the Texans, in my opinion.
So the thing that's crazy about what you said is about the winning cures all. And in 99.9% of the time, that's true. With Diggs, I was reading a story in The Athletic, and it came out of Buffalo, but I was reading a story today in The Athletic, and there was a line in there that over the remaining seven regular season games, Diggs caught 34 balls for 315 and one touchdown, while Allen accounted for 1,896 yards, ran for 10 touchdowns, and threw for eight more. James Cook, Khalil Shakir, and Dalton Kincaid emerged as trustworthy options. The Bills went 6-1, and their lone loss was to the Eagles. And then I think about the Texans. Stroud has a great relationship with both Dell and Collins, at least a football relationship. You know, the chemistry that they have. I thought Schultz was the perfect addition because they looked to be – he kind of looked to be that trustworthy tight end that he was peppering. And I do wonder if Stephon Diggs, you know, if he was unhappy at the end there about how, hey, now Kincaid's getting the ball, now Shakir's getting the ball, now Cook's getting the ball. Is he going to be that way in Houston, or is he going to be on such a revenge tour that all he cares about is just showing the Bills that they're wrong by making the Texans better than the Bills?
Well, I always like a supremely talented athlete being challenged. And I think getting traded is a way where, hey, the Bills said, we are going to take an additional $3 million in salary cap punishment to get rid of you. Altogether, it's going to be 31. That's how bad we want to get rid of you. I think
that's what I call in sports a firing.
Yeah, he got fired, right? And I think that's something to really challenge him. So I don't feel that's going to be an issue. We just have to see. The one thing I do like about a guy like CJ Stroud, I don't know if you know about his background and the things that he's been through, but he's been challenged off the field, and he's been weathered off the field. So you take that onto the field, and it's like, a guy telling me to throw him the football, like, that's not going to bother me. You know what I mean? Sure. That's the approach that I think CJ Stroud would have. But again, you're also looking at a situation where it's like, it's a different setting, a different environment. It's almost a reset for him. So I think that's going to be positive. Look, there's going to be issues. There's going to be issues, right? I don't care who it is. You know, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Levis, they had a disagreement, right? And they had it, and they moved on. I think it's really going to be about how these two as men are going to be able to have these issues and then move on. That's going to be the key.
I heard a lot of Titan fans yesterday talking about the matchups, about McCreary and Snead and Awuzie versus Dell and Collins and Diggs. And yet all I can think of anytime I hear somebody bring that up, TD, is the fact that Danico Autry is on that team. And that they haven't filled the hole for Danico Autry. And it almost reminds me of how much joy as a Titan fan I took out of what happened to the Colts when Danico Autry came here. And it went from Danico Autry kicking the Titans' butt to Danico Autry kicking the Colts' butt. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about that. Like, I would feel so much better if Danico Autry was on your team and the Titans. Then we can talk about these corners versus the receivers. Because no matter how good these corners are, if you can't get to that quarterback, those receivers in Houston will get open.
Well, remember what I said about the pass rush when I was saying their top three receivers versus the Titans' top three defensive backs. The pass rush. And look, it's different with Danico Autry this go round. The Colts, when he was, they didn't even bother to offer him. Mm-hmm. The Titans wanted to keep Danico Autry, but it just got to a point where there was a deal in place that just it wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they had to pivot to other things. That's what happened. So Danico knows that they wanted him. In fact, you look at the Colts. I remember the week before the first time he played against them. You wouldn't know. No offense, because you're not in the locker room. But Danico Autry doesn't talk a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But that week, he had all kinds of rap for me, and I did a story, and he was the one thing that he was mad about over everything else was they didn't even bother to offer him.
Yeah.
So that's where his venom came from. This time, I mean, obviously you're always going to be hyped to go against your old team. So I'm sure he's going to be excited. Hey, that's why you got to make sure that this offensive line is right, because there's a lot of pass rushers in this division. And then you look at Danico, and we talked before, right, Jared? Darius Robinson, very similar player. Obviously not, you know, as experienced, because he's going to be a rookie coming in. But if you could find a way to get him out of Missouri, I think you're cooking.
So last year, I pushed back a lot against the national narrative in the offseason that Jacksonville was about to ascend. Hmm. I am not pushing back against that with Houston. Yeah. I look at the Texans, and look, I know there have been teams that go out and dominate in free agency, or, you know, even a team, and I'm using Jacksonville as the example here last year, where Jacksonville, you know, was very much on the come up at the end of the 2022 season.
Right.
And they barely squeak into the playoffs, and they get to the divisional round, and the Texans barely squeaked into the playoffs, and they ended up in the divisional round. I believe there is a chance that the Houston Texans are the number two team in the AFC to the Chiefs. I'm dead serious about that, and I can't believe I'm saying
it. Is it Friday?
But I know. I can't believe I'm saying it, because you know how much I love Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, there is no way the Buffalo Bills are a better team today.
No.
And the GM even said it yesterday. He said, we're not a better team today because of, you know, the firing Stephon Diggs. I really think there's a chance that, again, you know me, I pushed back against Jacksonville last year. Mm-hmm. I think Houston it might be freaking awesome this year.
Look, man, I said, is it Friday, jokingly. Listen, you having them at number two isn't too much of a hot take, in my opinion. I definitely think the Ravens are there, because you put Derrick Henry there, and we see what they'll be able to do receiver-wise in the draft. But, yeah, Houston, at a minimum, in my opinion, is top three. At a minimum, they're the third.
The only reason the Derrick Henry thing with the Ravens doesn't move the needle as much for me is because –
they run out of shotgun?
Well, that's a little bit, but more so that Derek's biggest strength is when you're playing ahead, right? Or, like, when you're down 14 points, that's when the Titans in the past have had to take Derek out of the game.
It depends on the coordinator, because Arthur Smith, he kept running.
And that is true. Terry Lubisky won a playoff game by running Derek Henry down 18 at halftime.
Yeah.
But I think, like, when it comes to the Ravens, I look at, okay, when you get into the shootout with one of these quarterbacks.
No, look, let's I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But having Henry will help them get off to a better start because now defenses have to play them differently, right? And I think, you know, if you get those more stacked boxes, which we know Derrick Henry dominates, and you look at, man, they got, you know, their fullback is 300 daggone, he's 300 pounds.
Well, yeah, he looks like a lineman.
You're going to have half a ton coming at you. I wouldn't want to be a linebacker in the AFC North. I wouldn't want to be. So I think you look at that, it's going to change things the way teams have to play. And then not to mention, you know, when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson, you could run that stretch, and sometimes you boot off of that stretch, right? Mm-hmm. And a defender always has to be there and pay attention to Lamar Jackson. So that's taking a defender out that would normally pursue and possibly have that late pursuit to – cover up the cutback that Derrick Henry likes to make on those stretch runs. So, look, I think the Ravens are going to be good. They just have to figure out a way to be better in the pass game. And those two tight ends that they got, because Isaiah Likely came along, and then we all know what Mark Andrews brings. If they could get another receiver in there to complement Zay Flowers, you're going to have something. So I think the Ravens are going to be good. And defensively, they're going to be solid too.
All right. I'm going to put Ian on the spot here. Ian, Texans or Ravens? I will say – and I think it's really, really close. I'll say Texans. So now you got to break the tie.
I'll probably – I has to still have to lean Ravens.
Okay. You know what? That actually makes me feel better because I don't want the Texans, you know. Well, I hate the Ravens too. So it is what it is.
They're both going to be good.
You know? TD is with us. So every mock draft basically says the Titans are taking Joe Alt. But TD has a lot more info, I think, than the guys that are making the mock drafts in terms of – what the Titans are thinking, maybe what some teams around the Titans are thinking. So what does TD think, again, about what seems to be 99% of the time the answer in anybody's mock draft for the Titans? Joe Alt will do that next. The TD Power Hour is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The Tennessee Titans are on the clock with the 7 spot.
Yeah, they have lots of needs, and everyone thinks offensive tackle, but there's depth at the offensive tackle. So I'm going to, and I have a pick at 38. I either am going to get back into the first round. I have a couple of spots I could come back into, or I could wait and take one at 38 because I do think if we use last week's mock draft, that could happen. So I'm going to go right to the board and take the guy I think is the best guy left, and he's a very good football player. They will take... That sounds like the pick is in with that music. I love that. Dallas Turner out of Alabama, the big pass rusher. You can't go wrong taking the best pass rusher in the draft.
TD, Pat Kerwin, the only guy I have seen in the last 3 weeks that has done some sort of a mock draft that doesn't have the Titans going with Joe Alt. That's why I played that cut. He's the only guy that hasn't had Joe Alt to the Titans. And not that I don't think Dallas Turner's a good player, that the Titans could use Dallas Turner, but left tackle's left tackle. I do wonder this. Almost every mock draft has the Titans taking Joe Alt. Based off of what you know about the shape of the draft and the Titans and the way that they think, is it that simple that, yeah, three quarterbacks, maybe four go, receivers are going to go, and it's just going to be – turn the card in, Joe Alt's the guy, or is there more of a discussion to be had behind it?
No, I think there is more of a discussion to be had behind it, and it's one of those things where ideally what they would like to do is move back and acquire more picks. There's a need to add another top 100 pick. So if they can move back, they will. It comes down to this, the Chargers, man. When the Chargers pick, every Titans fan should be on the edge of their seat and watch intently. Well, a little more intently than you normally do, just because if they go Joe Alt, now so many things come into play. And I think Alt, from a best player available versus need perspective, I think he's higher than anybody, than maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers. I think he's higher than everybody else. And if he goes 5, now everything else comes into play. Mm-hmm. There's really going to be a push to trade back. And you heard what Rand Carthon said, was it last week? It wasn't at his presser. I think that was at the owner's meeting, at the league meetings. He has said that, you know, there hasn't really been too much chatter, too many people being nosy. I would imagine that's going to ramp up. And if I'm the Titans, I'm saying everything I can about, you know, listen, we like Will Levis, but I tell you, that J.J. McCarthy, you know what I mean? That's what I'm doing.
Hey, I said before the combine, I said as a Titan fan, go J.J., and apparently everything has gone in that direction.
Yeah, and that's what you want to do, because then now you move back. And look, Olufashinu, look, I think Joe Alt is a better prospect, but you're kind of reaching the point where there's prospect fatigue with Olu. And we talked about this with Marvin Harrison Jr. Sometimes when a guy is so good for so long, you're like, man, there has to be something wrong with this dude. There has to be something wrong. And then you start to nitpick and white glove his film and everything. And like any other prospect, you're going to see stuff that isn't right. And you just start to look for that. That lens is you're looking for bad stuff. And that's what happens. I think Olu, I mean, just think about it. In November, December, it was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a top five pick. I mean, the guy hasn't played football since then. Why is he now, you know, somebody in the 15 to 20 range? You know, it confuses me. So I say all that to say, if they trade back and they grab an Olufashinu, they're in good shape. If they trade back and they get a J.C. Latham, they're in good shape. For me, looking at this, ideally, you just go ahead and at seven, go ahead and take Joe Alt. You know what you got. It would be beautiful to get another top 100 pick, but I'm not moving off of that unless I get somebody that, like, a deal that just knocks my socks off.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I was thinking about, too, with Olu, and I brought this up in the last hour because one of our topics last hour was, what happened to Olufashinu? Because we don't talk about, like, it's not
mm-hmm. –
we talk about how, well, you know, all the draft guys are talking about this guy or that guy. Well, the draft guys are talking to the teams. And there was an article before the draft that came out at ESPN.com when Todd McShay used to work at ESPN. And I don't know how well you know Todd. I know Todd a little bit. He's not a dummy by any stretch of the imagination. And it was basically like one of the things was if the Colts don't take Will Levis, I don't know what they're going to do. The Texans do not like this quarterback class. You know, it was like all these things that ended up being the opposite being true. Well, Todd McShay was just getting lied to because everybody doesn't want you. So my theory on Olu might be that teams are not talking about Olu to these draft guys because they want Olu themselves.
It's very possible. And a lot of times what you'll see is – the league will have a different opinion on a guy than most of draft media do. Malik Washington from Virginia is a good example of that. You know, I think Chop Robinson is a good example of that. The safety from Utah, Cole Turner, I think his name is, he's another example. Like, you always have guys where they get picked at a certain point, and everybody's like, what the heck? And it's because the league is higher on him than the media is. And I think Olufashinu was one of those guys.
So the other thing, too, that I want your opinion on when it comes to Olu and the Alt and the tackle, what do we make of the rise of Troy Faletanu at Washington? Because there's some talk that, well, you know, he might be more of a guard. Then his arms came in at tackle length. The tape, supposedly, and you have watched it, I haven't, apparently he's a very solid player.
Yeah.
But then there's the thought that Michael Penix is a left-handed quarterback and not a right-handed quarterback. And yet I saw Mel's latest big board has Troy Faletanu at 9.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wonder, okay, why is he rising? What's special about him? And then how does he compare to Alt and Olufashinu?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was Cole Bishop, actually. That's the Utah safety. I said Cole Turner, who was a tight end out of Nevada a couple of years ago. But nevertheless, what you're saying about Faletanu is very true. And it's interesting because everybody, you know, they looked at his height and they said, oh, well, you know, he's a guard. And then, as you mentioned, the long arms came out and they said, oh, well, maybe he can play tackle. Here's the thing, right? You watch him, he played tackle well. And I get, as you said, right side was the blind side for Michael Penix being a left-handed quarterback. Roger Rosengarten is a pretty intriguing prospect. That's another conversation. But Faletanu is good. I mean, that Washington line, they won the award for best offensive line in the country.
And they beat Michigan, who returned, I think, a lot of guys and had won it the year before.
Yeah.
And we know Michigan had a good line.
Yeah,
that's how good Washington
is. And you don't win that by just having one good player. Mm-hmm. Faletanu moves as well as anybody in this draft class. You know, he just doesn't have the same size as a Joe Alt. He doesn't have the same size as, well, give or take an inch and some pounds as fashionable. But he's a very sound player as well. So I don't think top 10. I don't know about that, but he definitely is somebody that deserves mention. And it's another example of a guy who the league is higher on than someone, most media folks.
So if you had to rank the left tackle for the Titans, mm-hmm. with those three guys, and there's thought Amarius Mims hasn't played a lot, but there's thoughts that he can be a left tackle in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
How would you kind of rank them? I say, give me out of 10 what you see each guy. So, like, let's say, you know, Alt is a 9 out of 10 or something like that. Then we can tell what the drop-off is between mm-hmm. those guys. So how would you rank it? Alt, Fashanu, Fautanu, and Mims.
I would say Alt is an 8 out of 10, right? I would say Fashanu is a 7 out of 10. And that 1 point difference to me is polish and ready to play right now. That's the difference. Olu will play right now, but I think Alt, you put him in there right now and you have a guy who's going to vie for a Pro Bowl bid, right? That's what you want in a top 10 pick. Now, Fautanu, I would go down to, about a 6. That's the way I would look at those three.
And Mims,
I would put him at 6. I believe that he could be a very good right tackle. And when you have that size and athleticism, and build, you always want to be able to work with that. I think he'll be a very good right tackle. I put him below Fautanu because I don't know what I would have if I flipped him to left tackle.
So with some of the drafts that we've had over the years with the Titans and some of the players that TD has just banged the table for that have gone on to other teams and had success, we oftentimes end up with text messages wondering why TD does not work for the Titans. Coming up next, I am putting TD on the spot. Draft decisions that TD, you're on the clock, and I'm going to tell you the scenario, and I want to know what GMTD would do. And we'll do that next here on the TD Power Hour presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Get your phones in for TD, by the way, at 615-737-1025. Calls and texts, we'll hit them at the end of the hour, as we always do. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. So whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Feels pretty simple to me that the UConn men's team has become the UConn women's team, so I'll take UConn. And again, I was hoping, it's so hard to repeat, and it just doesn't look hard for them. That's $200 used on point spreads, money lines, and you can even pick who's going to win it all. Visit FanDuel.com/JGM and bet on college hoops until they cut down the net. 21 and over in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Look, they came in guns blazing talking about explosiveness and touchdowns. And NPF is not explosive. Say the words. Repeat those words. NPF is
NWI
is not explosive.
I want you to know what position you're talking about first. You
Nick
got
Westbrook
that?
Okay. Akine is not explosive. Repeat those words.
I said he was.
Well, let's say it. Let's get it on the record. Not explosive.
I'm not Bart Simpson, the chalkboard for you. I'm not your little puppet.
Is he explosive?
No.
He's not explosive. So, no, he's not what they're looking for.
It's a huge
come down if he's the third receiver.
Right, I'm just saying.
And he's the third receiver because Burks is going to get hurt. And Phillips is going to get hurt. And those guys are gravy.
They should get another receiver.
We're moving away. Everybody's moving away from receiver because they signed Ridley. And they're like, they cannot get a receiver now in the top two. They still need a receiver. And, I mean, if Neighbors is there at 7, they should run like hell to get Neighbors and screw left tackle for a little while. Then go tackle at 38.
Screw left tackle for a little while. That is a hot take from PK.
That's the smoking one.
that is a take. I mean, again, we tell the story about right tackle on this show. I mean, left tackle, come on now. But I do want to do this. TD, I want to put you on the clock on draft night. You are the Tennessee Titans general manager, Rand Carthon. Situation number one, Joe Alt is available with the 7th pick. Mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone, as is Malik Neighbors. And Minnesota offers 11, 23, and 104 in the 108 in the 4th round for 7 and 38. Do you take the trade or do you take Joe Alt?
I'm taking that trade. Two first rounders, a third rounder, and a fourth. Yeah, give me that.
Well, so you're getting a fourth rounder. You're giving up your second rounder.
Oh, well, wait. Time out. So you're talking 11, about 7 and 38.
Yeah. So it's 11, 23, and 104 for 7 and 38.
No, I'm not doing that.
Really?
11, 23, and 104. I'm getting up from the table, sitting back down and say, hey, listen, man, I need 77. What's their third round? Was it 77, right? Or 74?
Something like that.
Yeah,
yes.
I need that third round pick.
Instead of the fourth round pick? Or you want that and the fourth round
pick? If you want me to give up my first and second round pick, I need that third round pick. I need the third round pick too. Because if you're moving up to 7, you're moving up to get a quarterback. And you know what? There's a different set of rules with a quarterback. So I need at a minimum a first, second, and third.
So I was crunching the numbers, and what hit me was like, I don't know to like believe the J.J. McCarthy hype or not, because I don't believe it. But, I mean, everybody says that this is real. And when they acquired that second first-round pick from Houston in order – I looked at the numbers, and it is the exact, on the trade chart, the exact amount that they have to go to get to 4 or 5. And so I'm like, oh, my God, maybe this is what they're thinking about doing in order to get J.J. McCarthy and something like that. But you don't get another pick in return. So the other option would be 7, and so you're not going to get – they're not going to give up as much for 7 as they would for 4, and that's where 38 goes back. But the one thing I would say, if they make that trade, knowing how deep the tackle class is – You might be able to do this with 7 and 38. You absolutely will be able to do this with 11 and 23, get your left tackle and your right tackle.
Yeah, or you could get another receiver, or you could get an edge guy, right? You could get a Chop Robinson at 23. You know what I mean? There's a lot you could choose from. I would go, my counter would be, all right, look, man, first I would counter for that third. And if they said no, I said, all right, look, let's just go 7 for 11 and 23. Let's do that then.
And then when they say no to that, you're going alt?
Then I'm going alt.
Okay. Scenario number 2. Joe Alt is available at 7.
Mm-hmm.
So is Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. Because one of those two is going to be off the board. So it's one of the two, Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. We'll start with Marvin Harrison Jr. Alt's available at 7. So is Marvin Jr. Who is GMTD drafting?
I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And I'm going to tell him, you know, stop by one of the corner stores and bring me a case of Tasty Cakes. Butterscotch crimpets preferred.
And I don't know what that means.
Tasty Cakes. It's like Entenmann's. Come on, you know what Entenmann's are, right? Tasty Cakes. It's a thing PA – Southeastern Pennsylvania, specifically Philly. He's a Philly kid. So, yeah, it went over your head. So it did. Yeah, and that was just, yeah.
Okay. Alt's available at 7, and so is Malik Nabers. Who's the pick?
I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about that real hard. I think if it's the Titans, I think it would be Nabers. Me, I'm going alt. I'm going alt.
So you think the Titans would go Nabers over Alt?
I think there's a good chance they would.
Wow. And you know I love Malik Nabers, but wow. I mean, that would be
Here's the thing. And this is what I'm basing it off of, in addition to stuff that I know. Every time Rand Carthon speaks at the combine, or excuse me, at a press conference, what does he speak on? The depth at offensive line. I feel they believe they could get a tackle later in the draft. I think they believe in that bottom half of the first round, early second, I think they believe they could get a tackle. Because every single time he speaks publicly about offensive line, he speaks to the depth there. Now, that could be – you know, we could get into the whole conspiracy stuff where he's You know what I mean? Smoke screen and all that stuff. I don't know, but I believe that that's something that, that they would consider passing and getting their tackle later.
Number three, Joe Ald is off the board at 7. The Titans have the option of trading back for Olufashinu, Troy Faletanu, J.C. Latham, one of the other tackles, or taking Roma Dunze or Dallas Turner with the 7th overall pick.
I think in that scenario, they trade back.
The Dallas Turner thing does kind of intrigue me a little bit because I think he's pretty good.
I think he's good. I like Jarrett Verse just as well. I really like Latu. And obviously, you know, you got the medical stuff. But I think if you go pure pass rusher, he's the best in this draft. You go pure pass rusher.
So I have not done the homework you've done. I did see somebody put a video of DeJuan Jones against Chop Robinson. And, I mean, it looked like DeJuan Jones was literally eating Chop Robinson. Like, he could not get around DeJuan Jones.
But DeJuan Jones is... That was one of my guys last year that I was saying, hey, you might want to draft him.
My favorite thing about DeJuan Jones is that he weighed in at the combine and then refused to weigh in at pro day. That's my favorite thing. Like, it was 386 or whatever it was at the combine, and then on pro day was like, yeah, I'm not weighing in. I was like, oh, my God.
I saw him in person at the JW, man. That's a mountain. That's a mountain. Whew.
Okay, situation 4. Drake May falls to the 7th pick. Do you take May and his 5 potential years of contractual control and trade Will Levis, or do you trade the 7th overall pick?
I'm on the phone with the Vikings, and I'm just saying, listen, man, you better come get him, because if not, I'm taking him, and we're just going to figure it out. I trade that pick to the Vikings, because you know – and you, I trade that pick, because you know if he's there at 7, teams are going to be – that phone is going to be ringing off the hook. I trade it.
So my gut tells me that if he's there at 6, that's when either the Giants are taking him or you're going to see Denver, Minnesota, every single one of those teams, the Raiders, try to get in there. But, I mean, I think about, let's say that he is there at 7, and let's say that the Titans have him graded at, you know, significantly higher coming out than what they think Levis is right now. I think Levis proved enough in his first year. Like, this isn't going to be a Josh Rosen trade where I'm calling Minnesota or Denver that don't have quarterbacks of the future and saying, hey, I'm going to trade you Levis because I have to trade you Levis. It's I'm going to trade you Levis, and you're lucky enough that there's a Levis that's out there to be traded for.
Yeah, I don't know that you get much for him, though.
Really?
I don't think you – a third, fourth? I'm good.
Okay, your phone's for TD. I do enjoy that, by the way. Did you enjoy playing GM?
It was fun.
There you go.
I got to get you the tasty cakes, too, man. When you taste a tasty cake, you'll understand. Look, Ian is over there shaking.
They're pretty
his
good,
head.
Yeah.
How do I not know about these things?
They sell them around here.
Yeah, like
here
you
now.
Would think that you would know about it and not me. Like,
thank
this is
you.
Crazy.
They sell them around here
thank
now.
You.
So you can buy them.
Me and
town.
DeJuan Jones. You know, 615-737-1025. Where are your phones next? Stillman & Company, 1025-106 for the end. Stillman & Company, be sure to tune into 93.3 Classic Hits today as the Sounds are at home taking on the St. Paul Saints at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. TD is with us. TD, to the phones, or do you have a thought?
No, to the phones.
Kyle, our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Kyle has been waiting patiently and is going to kick us off for TD. Kyle, go ahead.
It's Thursday from 3 to 4, TD. What's going on?
What's going on? You know what time it is.
Yes, sir. All right. I'll go ahead and get to it. I got a few questions. Y'all can leave me on hold. I'd appreciate it. You've got me liking Darius Robinson. He's Nico Autry 2.0, I think. So if he is not there, would you be interested in Emmanuel Ogba? Just bringing him in and see if we can work out a good contract for him.
I like the mention of Ogba. He's a guy a couple years ago, he had double-digit sacks.
There you go.
I don't think he would be too expensive to bring in either. So, no, I would like that. I think that gives you a veteran guy that you mix in with, you know, the 3 or 4 other guys you got in the rotation.
Kinston is up next with TD. Thank you for calling and waiting. What's up, Kinston?
What up, man? How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
What's up, TD? A comment and then a question.
Okay.
A comment. I saw Jared. I think I texted him in, but I wouldn't be so quick to write our friend the first. I saw an interesting stat that said, you know, this time last year, Nico Collins was coming in as the third receiver as an afterthought. Now this year, he's the Texans' presumed number one wide receiver after his first 2 years of less than 500 yards and missing a bunch of games because of injury. So I think that this situation where Treylon Burks could step back as maybe a number 3-4 receiver could be a step back or a major step up. So I wouldn't write him off so quick. And then the question for you, TD, is, I don't know if you follow Chad Forbes on Twitter, but he kind of had an interesting tweet last night that made you think he had some insight where he said it'll happen. Titans are going to trade 38 and 106 to San Francisco for 31 and the 7th. They're going to pick Xavier Worthy. He kind of had the same thing for the Bengals picking Xavier Worthy. Interesting what you think about Xavier Worthy as a fast guy working in the middle of the field. If you kind of heard that insight, you think the Titans will fall off 38, not move back, but move up.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Kenston. I tell you what, I love the comment about Treylon Burks. Jared, you know how I feel about Treylon. He actually found out that he has a daughter on the way, too, and there's just something about becoming a parent. It gives you a different level of hungriness. So hopefully, for his sake, that happens. I think there's
Life will be a lot easier when baby girl wants to go to Harvard and get a second contract.
Right, I think he'll be good on that part regardless, but, you know, hopefully for his sake, you know, he's able to turn it around. But Kenston's comment was right on point there. Chad Forbes, he's wrong an awful lot, and nobody ever calls him out for it.
But. Chad Forbes, the way I would describe him is interesting. Like,
there you go.
His commentary is, like, interesting for me to think about. But
yeah,
it's, you know, I don't think he's, like, got some kind of great knowledge inside the NFL.
Right, I highly doubt Xavier Worthy is there at 38 or wherever, you know, how that did. But coming off of that 38 overall pick, I could definitely see that as something that they could do to acquire another. You know, if you move back a few, I think, like, Washington, I want to – there's a few teams there in the 40s that, you know, moving back would be a reasonable one to where you could do that and then, you know, get another a third-round pick. So that's something that you can do. I wouldn't be opposed to them moving off of that.
So here's my thought on Xavier Worthy, and I just want your opinion on this, and then we'll get right back to your phones on this. He crushed Alabama, not last year, but 2 years ago before Quinn Ewers hurt his shoulder and they had to put the backup in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he was just running right by the Alabama DBs, and he was making big catch after big catch. And, like, when you're a receiver and you dominate Alabama, like, that means something to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm surprised when it's like he might be available in the second round. I'm like, he was really good in college, and I know the second round's nothing to scoff at, but, like,
he's that rare 4-2 guy where that stuff matches up on tape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then in addition to that, I mean
– right, Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, even though he's frail, he plays with a level of physicality also. Like, he's not just someone you put out there and you tell him to run go routes. Like, he could do a lot of things.
Titans and Truth Chris says, TD, I might get on the edge rusher train at 38. He says he wants Franklin or Worthy, but let's say that the Titans trade back and Alt and Fashanu are gone. Do the Titans look at Fuaga and maybe try to move him to left tackle? Is it that easy of a transition? What do you think?
Fuaga's not a left tackle. He's a right tackle. I would keep him there. And then, you know, you got Faletano that's, you know, there. If you're going to trade back and move a guy position-wise, I mean, that's J.C. Latham. You probably look at doing that with. But Fuaga is a right tackle. You want him at right tackle.
So the guy that I think probably when it comes to flipping – and he's not mentioned at the top of the first round or even maybe some of the middle, maybe he's starting to creep into some of these mocks in the bottom, is Rosengartner out of Washington.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier, Roger Rosengartner. I tell you what, Jared, I watched him at the Senior Bowl take reps at left tackle, and he did it fine. Another guy to mention also is Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's really talked, but, you know, Jim Nagy said that he felt that he was the best athlete out of all the O-linemen in the draft. Mike Tannenbaum, who drafted DeBrickashaw Ferguson, said that he reminds him of him. And he was right tackle, but he could flip and play left. He did that at the Senior Bowl. His first couple reps were a little rough. Cedric Johnson out of Mississippi got him a couple times, but then he started to get settled in, and he was okay too.
Ryan in Nashville says, TD, what position do you think the Titans are leaning with their second pick?
What position? I don't think there's a set position. I think a lot of that is going to be dictated by what they do in the first round. I think they have a pass rusher, pass protector, and pass catcher. I think that's, you know, what they want to look at in those first couple picks. And then, you know, if they – 106, you know, that could be where you see one of the linebackers, you know what I mean? But that's why – so if you could generate a third-round pick, now you're looking at, Edge Cooper. You're looking at, you know, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. You're looking at a lot of these players that would be possibilities.
By the way, I think Rand hinted at something that we've talked a lot about on whatever day he talked, Tuesday, Monday, whatever day it was. And that is, I think they may lean towards giving Amani Hooker the green dot.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is for me with that, I think that – and I just kept trying to wrap my head around this. They go into dime. One of the things you want to be able to do in dime is still rush the passer. I think Kenneth Murray is going to be a guy that they're going to blitz with that coverage behind. If you have another linebacker as the green dot, Kenneth Murray's not going to be on the field in dime. You know what I mean? So – yeah, I could see that. It's just Hooker has to – they got to figure out a way to keep that man on the field. And yep. And to no fault of his own, there have been, you know, concussion, and there have been other bang-bang injuries that he's had.
When I heard, you know, Eric Weddle's worn the green dot before, I was like
– but let's not get it twisted. Eric Weddle, is one of the most cerebral players this league has seen.
And so, was a great player, too.
Yeah, let's not get it twisted.
Austin from Clarksville says, TD, why do you think Brian Thomas Jr. is not getting more hype? I think he can be as good, if not better, than Roma Dunze.
I mean, they're different players, but, I mean, he ran really well at the combine. I don't know why he's not getting hype, because he's a guy, you look at that 15 to 25 range, you know what I mean? He's right there in that group of guys right after – Neighbors and Harrison Jr. and Adunze. So, I mean, I'm not going to say he could be the same player or just as good as, but I believe he could be impactful. I don't know why he's not getting enough hype.
One texter texts into the text line and says, actually, we've got a couple that have asked about this. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia at 38, and how would you see the Titans using somebody with his route running ability and speed outside or in the slot?
I think he would be what a lot of people – want Kyle Phillips to be, right? I think that's where you would have him. Ladd McConkey, he's a really good player. And it's funny, on Talking with TD, we had Matt Waldman. He's a creator of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio and a senior writer for Football Guys. And I asked him to compare the two, because I think every time you mention Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall pops up in my mind. And I love Pearsall, man. He's just saucy. He's saucy with his routes. You know what I mean? And he catches. He's really good. So I think, you know, those two, Pearsall is better on the outside, in my opinion. But McConkey, you know, he's one of those guys that's going to surprise you with what he could do on the field. He is a vertical threat. He runs really good routes. He's more of a pure slot, in my opinion, but he would be a very productive player.
TD, the TD Power Hour is presented by ESPN Bet. And I know, TD, you want to tell us all about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, for sure, man. ESPN Bet, it is an app that's ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN and has it all, whether it be offers or promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. As a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet, so go ahead and download ESPN Bet today. A tremendous play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text TN Redline at 800-889-9789. See the app for details, and as always, terms and conditions will apply.
TD, great stuff, man.
Appreciate you.
Yep, coming up next, Mike Sando's unnamed executives are back. And these unnamed NFL executives don't necessarily like what the Titans did in free agency. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.